everyone. So what session? I must say I'm caught slightly unawares. I thought our outgoing chair was going to finish the meeting with chairing the last session, so I'm straight into a baptism by fire. The first item we'd like to cover is getting an update on the progress with the URS and really the next steps as far as the council is concerned. And I believe Olaf is here to talk to us about that. So, Olaf, we'll go straight on with that and hear from you. That would be great.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. The URS, Uniform Rapid Suspension System, was conceived by largely you. I mean, two community groups, IRT first, and then refined by the STI, as they were called, in order to find a fast and lightweight and low-cost complement to the UBRP to address clear-cut infringements of trademark rights by suspension of domain names. That's, in short, the script. And we're very, very grateful for all the work that went into that. And it's been included, as you know, in the applicant guidebook since quite some time. And it's going to be compulsory for all the new DTLDs. Now, since some time, engaging with potential providers, it had turned out that it may not be as fast, lightweight, and low cost as desirable. So we had a session on the URS in Prague in order to find ways and to address that. And a number of change proposals came up, which we have since compiled, and we held a webinar on the 3rd of October to gauge a little bit the community sense about, whether they were durable, desirable at all, and if so, where was the preference. We also, in order to assess the market, to get some kind of market check, we announced and posted a request for information, notably, on the 24th of September, to see what kind of responses do we get. And the deadline for that is late in November. But time is pressing. And in particular, since time schedule for the launch of new DTLDs has been, well, happily advanced, but that adds to the pressure on what should be done with the URS. So we actually follow a two-pronged approach here. We have the RFI, we're expecting. We have positive mumblings saying that this we will have actual proposals on that. And that's very, very promising. But we won't sit down and just pray that that happens. So the idea is to, in parallel, to develop more thoughts about the proposed changes that we have received, and presumably, and here comes a proposal, set up a drafting team with participation from the potential providers, and in a sense copying, making a microcosm of the STI in order to make it small enough, the drafting team, to be efficient, but yet big enough to be effective. So that's a first thought which I put in front of you, and I don't know if I'm asking for a blessing to go ahead with that or absolution for doing so, but something like that, or at least have your feedback on what you think we should do. Maybe you have much better ideas.
Thanks, Olaf. So can I have any thoughts? Has anyone got any feedback on this suggestion for a drafting team? Yes, Alan.
I'm not making a formal statement on behalf of ALAC you'll see. But ALAC and NCSG had a meeting yesterday about this, and there is a strong preference that we not have to make any changes and that we get a response. Given that that may or may not happen, there is some willingness to work in parallel on the chance that we may have to make some changes. There is a very strong preference not to make changes in the substance of the policy, but in the process as the first steps. So what can we do to streamline the process to reduce the steps without changing the actual specifics of it? So as an example, electronic filing is fine. Judgment on no response, no. So in other words, we should first address in the drafting group things that may be applicable even if we can find someone who can do it at $500, the changes may lower to $350. And certainly those we should focus on, because in the 3 years or 2 years since the STI met, views may have changed slightly, and certainly there are opportunities that we can change the way you can change the process to streamline it. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Jeff?
Yeah, I remember making the same comment in Prague. Part of our problem is we're working on streamlining a process that we still don't know the difficulties. In other words, we don't have the comments that were initially received from the National Arbitration Forum and World Intellectual Property Organization as to what made it so expensive, other than some suggestions of, well, we think that default situations should do X, Y, and Z. So I'm hoping that those entities respond to the RFI. I'm hoping that the RFI becomes completely public. I was a little bit concerned, I still am, that there was nothing in the RFI that asks them what they would charge or what they believe the costs are, because I think that's really the relevant information, and I think that was missed. And maybe it's because you use past templates. But my problem is we're putting the cart before the horse. We're saying we need to change a process because two vendors said they couldn't do it for a certain price. I'm a little skeptical of doing that until we actually see those vendors' comments on the record. And otherwise, it just seems we're doing this backwards. So I'd like to know. So that's my first comment. My second comment is, we're asking people to make changes on a default. This was a central element, even going back as far as the IRT. And I know because I was on that it wasn't necessarily a full judgment on the merits, if you will, if there was a default. It was a sanity check. And that's actually the term that I used during the IRT discussions and even subsequent to that. When a complainant submits a complaint in the URS, someone, and it doesn't need to be a lawyer, and it doesn't need to be necessarily a paralegal, someone needs to look at that complaint and needs to say, oh, yeah, so they alleged xyz.web is doing these bad things. Someone needs to actually go look at xyz.web and say, you know what, they are doing the things, not whether it's bad or not, but they are doing the things that are being complained about. And if they are doing the things that are being complained about and they don't respond, then that's very appropriate for a default. And then in those cases, it shouldn't go to a panel. So, you know, for me, I'm a little baffled because we have not seen what discussions took place between ICANN and those two organizations. I'm really hoping we get a third or a fourth or a fifth response to the RFI that gives us that better information, and seriously consider other vendors. If WIPO can't do it, National Arbitration Forum can't do it, then pick someone else.
Thanks. May I quickly respond?
Please, Olaf.
First of all, I think I understand Alan's comments on what changes would be accepted and what not, meaning that process improvement suggestions would be good. And let's also face it, there are a few things that in practice won't work, like the 24-hour requirement. Well, very few operate on a 24/7, so change that to one business day, for example. That's down to the weeds in the whole thing. But if I may proceed to first of all, well, why are we doing this in parallel, putting the cart before the horses? Well, we are in an urgency situation, and we want to make every effort to be able to meet the timeline. So, and I don't think it would be wasted effort, because this may be useful, if not immediately, at least at a time that we have the foreseen review of the URS. So, well, it will demand some effort. Thirdly, we do have the comments provided by not only WIPO and NAF, but also the CAC, and they're up on the little micro website on URS that we have launched since some time. They're also available, NAF and WIPO comments, on the session imminent, coming in around about an hour on the URS. So please go ahead and have a look at them. They're actually on the session slot, available for downloading. So there are, and well, you mentioned also that why didn't we put the price tag, that it should be below 500. We want to have the price information indeed, and in we have for the potential applicants, and we have a particular session for questions and answers on Tuesday, where we will certainly bring this up, and I think they're listening in to what we're saying right now. So I trust that price information will be forthcoming as a basis for the decision on the further steps we take.
So, Olaf, sorry, Alan, I'll come back to you in one moment. But what I feel like I'm hearing is that there is we've got a session imminent, as you say. We've got an RFI running. We've got a call, which is a precursor to that RFI on Tuesday next week, is it, or imminent? Is that, so it strikes me that there's a lot of moving parts, and I just wonder whether we wouldn't be going off on a tangent, and I wouldn't mind some feedback on that element of it, to try and deal with any questions or issues that a drafting team might deal with, and whether we shouldn't let this process run a little further, notwithstanding the urgency of the whole thing. But Alan, does your point fit in with that, or would you like to make another point in any event?
No, the points are somewhat different, but let your one run out, and then I'll take the floor.
Well, I'm done. I'm just, that's really in part a question to others to say, and to Olaf, to say whether, you know, what is, and I think I'm following on from Jeff, how much value we can provide until it's established that there really is an issue with providing the URS as envisaged. So I've got Marika who would like to intervene, and then we'll come to you, Alan.
This is Marika. I think part of the discussion that the Council should have here, as Olaf says, I think this is really urgent. And indeed, there might be information that you're waiting for, but I think what would be really helpful is to have clarification on when that information is available, how you're going to deal with that. And I think, as Olaf specified, you may want to consider bringing together back a subset of the STI to have a group that was already involved in this before, may have, you know, specific insight on how to tweak or modify or change or to address those questions that are being raised. Because I think what we're really looking for is, like, you know, how can we make sure that we have something in place that we can quickly work with to look at these issues, and even if, you know, certain information still needs to be developed. So I think that's the kind of direction we're looking for you for.
Thanks, Marika, for helping out. And I would think that the full STI, well, what we're thinking about is to take one of the red lines that we do have from a provider and actually go through and see, is this something we can live with or not? Does this keep the balance? Does this advance the process? Is it sufficient? Is it proper? And so on. And perhaps make other modifications to them as well. And by that token, getting ready for when we do have the replies to the RFI and the potential proposals for modifications that will come from the various providers that respond to it. And I'm hopeful that we'll most certainly not only get replies from the two that have been mentioned, but there are others which have declared their intention at least to to provide responses to it. So, well, suggestion would be, well, volunteers, type one from each interested stakeholder group and constituency, that would be very welcome. At least I myself will start looking into, that's a very small drafting team, looking into the and try to see, well, in the light of the comments we received in Prague and at our webinar and later today, to see what is perhaps doable. And then we merge, if
right.
need be.
Olaf, I think I've got you there. So I've got Alan and Jeff and then David. If we can perhaps focus on the specifics of this, of a rather practical proposal, but let's go ahead. Alan and...
Okay, several things. First of all, ICANN is tending to be talking about $500 now. The STI said $300 to $500. We really would like to see it at the lower of that range, not at the absolute range, and then push it up to $550. So I would suspect streamlining the process is something that's going to have to be done, and I'm suspecting will be suggested in at least some of the RFI responses. So I think we need to be ready to, at the very least, we need to be ready to spring the day, you know, with a group formed, the day the RFI responses are ready. If we choose to meet before then to look at some other documents, fine. I'll point out that, you know, in last September or something, the board unilaterally shortened the response time, which hurt respondents. All of the changes, or virtually all of the changes that were suggested in the interim, have been against the respondent. So the changes have been somewhat one-sided, and there's a lot of suspicion that there's, you know, a game being played to try to hurt the respondents, or to rather address the respondent issues only, and therefore there is some suspicion, certainly. So I support forming a group soon. You know, in a few days it's going to be November, and November is almost Christmas. Things start slowing down, and things start rushing up on the things that have deadlines. So I would suggest we get a group together soon. Whether we meet or not, I don't know. But
Alan,
that part has to be done.
That's helpful. Let's go to Jeff and then David.
So thanks. This is Jeff Newman. This is an incredibly frustrating conversation because it's become urgent, partly because ICANN has not published the information we need. I would ask for a commitment by tomorrow. If ICANN could just write up a document which says, this is what the National Arbitration Forum and WIPO and anyone else that they discussed, a cost breakdown. This part costs X, this part costs Y, this part costs Z. Then we can go through those and see how we can reduce the costs. But instead, you're asking for a URS reform even before the URS has been implemented. We also had a very serious debate on when we should be talking about the dispute processes, and we delayed it for 18 months after the launch of the first new GTLD. I just find this completely backwards from a business perspective. And that's the side I am on, right? In my own company, if someone were to tell me, you got to reduce the costs, I would look at them and say, well, tell me what the costs are, in which part. Instead, what we're being asked to do is we're going to give you a red line of changes that intellectual property owners want that we think will reduce the costs, and we have no indication of that at all. So I understand your point of, well, maybe 24 hours notice should be changed to a business day. Okay, cool. That's fine. But that's not the big issue there. The big issue that they brought up is default, appointing panels. So tell us how much it costs. How much and what percentage, for example, goes to the administrative overhead fee that WIPO and National Arbitration Forum collects that they don't even pass on to the panelists? Tell us, what do you pay your overhead? What do you pay the panelists, and why? Is it because it takes a and give me the time breakdown. How long would it take a panelist to look at the basic issues in the URS to make a decision? And how much does that panelist get paid per hour? Those are the types of things we need. I think it's completely just backwards to look at revising the policy, because we don't even know in the end, even if after we do all the red lines, we don't even know in the end that the vendor won't come back and say it's still too expensive, go back and do more. We need the benchmarks. Absent the benchmarks, I think it's a complete waste of time to put together a group here to work on any red lines. It's crazy. It's policy being done in isolation without thinking of the business. We are supposed to create the policy. It's up to others to work out the business issues. You're asking us to somehow merge the two without having the information. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of passionate
Thanks,
about
Jeff.
This.
Do you have a response to that, Olive? Because David's in the queue, but I think that this probably is sufficiently substantial. It deserves a response.
Absolutely. And, the cost information we have is... we got in the paper that not only the paper that WIPO has delivered and which you can access both on the URS website and on the session, they indicate panelist or examiner costs to be in the order of $800-$900, and that's the bulk of the cost. If I remember right, don't quote me here, but that a third of the cost total for a UDRP, this is based on a UDRP proceeding, so a third of the cost would go to the administration of the matter, and the bulk of the cost, two-thirds, thereabouts, would go for the examiner. So it's the examiner cost that they foresee.
Well, just before we go to David, and I just need to establish a point of clarity here, because as I understand it, we're going to a we're running this RFI process. We're going to a meeting to discuss some of the issues after this. But I have heard that at least one provider has emerged and stood up and said, I intend to respond to the RFI. I intend to produce a response within the cost parameters compliant with existing policy. And so what I'm struggling to get is, until we've established that it can't be done in cost to current policy, or am I missing something? Sorry,
no,
David, we will get to you.
That's absolutely correct, and I believe and hope that there will be more than one like that. That doesn't say that we have the final solution by that token, so that's the reason for trying to do something in the meantime. And I would say that, this is perfect. We don't have the cost breakdown, or the projected cost breakdown, but that would be a particularly poignant matter to bring up when we look at the suggested modification. What kind of cost would that change, and so on. So that's typically a matter which could come into the discussion in the drafting group, given that we would foresee to do that together with the providers.
All right. Well, this is obviously sufficiently important, and you've highlighted the urgency because of its place in the whole program, that we need to have given it some of the time we've given. But I'm keen to try and wrap this up now. So, David, and then Jeff, and I think we need to cut things off at that point. David, let's hear from you.
Yeah. So I've just as you know, I just came from a meeting with Fadi and Sally, where we're talking about this issue about where implementation of policy. In the future, we need to consider the implementation. The policy process isn't really done until the implementation happens. We've got to keep the policy. We can't just sort of say we've done the policy now. Let's throw it over to staff to implement and hope that will actually be done. And clearly, this is a problem with the URS, whether there is pressure to change the policy because of the implementation difficulties. But it really. We are very concerned about the policy changes. We have to follow that. Of course, the whole process was very difficult to get this. All the concerns that Alan mentioned about, many of the changes seem to favour the rights holder. Many of the changes sort of, and some of the changes seem to suggested in response to get this implementable, fundamentally change sort of what what we think the URS was even for. So yeah, I just want to say we are very concerned, and we are certainly willing to dig in and help. But these changes are of a great concern to us.
Jeff.
So one of the things I would ask for is, and it's interesting you said a third of the costs are for the administration. If you want people to volunteer, I'd like to actually be on the RFI review committee. I would love to see the responses and help critique those, right? I would love to actually say, okay, so if your fee is $900, you're telling us that $300 are for admin costs that are overhead. Well, how can we reduce that? I mean, why are we looking at the policy to change that? It's like we're hostages of the vendors. And I think that happens a lot here in the ICANN world. We should not be the hostages of the vendors. We should tell the vendors, this is what we want. And we should look at the vendors' inside policies to say, what can you do to reduce the administrative costs? What can we as an organization do to help you reduce your admin? Or what can you do for us to help reduce your admin? Because if that's the case, I mean, if they're literally saying $300 out of $900 goes to admin, then there's nothing we can do to actually bring the fee into something between $300 and $500. I mean, it's a hopeless cause, and then all it becomes is almost an exercise, as David just said and Alan, that we're basically engaged in a new policy discussion of how to make things better for the intellectual property constituency. Right, and I hear some of their concerns, but these have all been well debated. I would volunteer to help you out and look at everyone's RFI response. I'm completely independent. Registries have nothing at all, no interest in the game other than to have this move forward. I don't care who does it. I'm not on the IP side. I'm not on the non-commercial. I'm not on the side. I want to see it done, and if you would take, I would be happy to volunteer for that. And I'm very good at grilling vendors too, so I have some good procurement experience.
All right. Well, I'm keen. I think there's a couple of themes here. I mean, I like what David said, reminding us of the iterative loop and the fact that we can never completely put policy away in a box subject to implementation. There's certainly a theme emerging of trying to be more effective at linking the policy and implementation as early and as thoroughly in the process going through. But I am hearing quite a loud plea from you, Olaf, to at least try and get together the volunteers for a group that may either help you on the way with some of the things that Jeff's talked about. I don't know what your reaction to that particular suggestion is, but start to form the group such that in the event that your RFI doesn't produce a satisfactory response, we are prepared and ready, if not having done some prior work. So that's what I'm hearing. Brian, you want to say something?
Yeah, just very quickly, I'm Brian Winterfeld, IPC. I just want to support Jeff's concerns in the sense that I think trademark owners are obviously watching this issue very closely. We're very concerned about the implementation of the URS. You go back to the IRT, there are a lot of things we asked for that we did not get. The few things that we're getting are critical, 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 and I think Jeff's point's important in that, it needs to be cheap and it needs to be fast, or we might as well just do UDRPs, especially without the transfer option. So I do think it's really important, and I'm happy to lend support as well in any way I can to help you with that.
Great. So it sounds to me, my measure is that what we've got here is a degree of reservation about how deep we go at this point and whether we start to open up the policy questions until we are certain we have a problem, but nevertheless we become prepared and perhaps even have some initial informal discussion as part of that preparation to convene and form a drafting team if and when that's necessary. Does that represent... are there any anyone feel strongly that doesn't represent where we've got to here? Alan?
My only modification would suggest forming the team and actually having it ready to have its first meeting. Slightly different than being ready to form a group as soon as we see it's needed.
I'm sorry if I spoke unclearly. That's exactly what I intend. I think we go for a call out onto the list to form the team. And in fact, my personal view is I have no reservations about that team having informal dialogue amongst themselves about some of the issues that may either be coming down the tracks or already on the tracks. But as to your initial suggestion, Liv, that we form, that we begin to work on drafting, I think that's probably premature until we see some of the outcomes of the processes. So I hope that's been helpful to you and the council. I think is there a last word you'd like to say, Olaf? I sense that you've got something to conclude with.
My last word is thank you for that support. And, I look forward to trying to have a first call with that drafting team, like late next week, for example. It is urgent, and we need to have something fairly early. We have to have the providers lined up fairly early next year in order for them to go into also the detailed implementation and communication with the registries and so forth. Are more questions?
Like we're struggling to put this one to bed. John?
I'm a little concerned that this SEAL Team 6 approach that you're suggesting still undercuts the point that both Brian and Jeff have made, is you could get the smartest people on the planet together to think about this, but what is their agenda? What is it that they need to address? And if we go ahead and create this team right now, essentially we are diminishing the strength of the call for a little insight before we begin deliberation. So I would be against having a team on call until we knew what the heck they were on call for.
Would anyone else like to speak out? Because we've got two issues that need to be balanced. There's an opportunity to form some sort of group that are ready to deal with the issues should they appear. Or there isn't. Yes, Thomas.
As much as I like the idea of forming a group, and I would be more than happy to work with that group, I think it's a little bit risky for us to put together a group that is expected to deliver results, and we don't have the fact base to work on. And we've been asking for months and months to get information about the process as it is envisaged, to slice it, to see what the cost drivers are and where we need to streamline in order to improve it to meet the cost target, which I fully agree with the previous speakers, has to be met, because parts of the community, huge parts of the community, have relied on the program to be implemented at a very low price. So we can either let go of quality features, nor can we increase the price. I think that will have very detrimental effect on the credibility of the program. So I think we should wait for information first in order not to be the ones that don't deliver. But once we have that information, we should be working on that full throttle.
I can accept that, but I think we've got to be cognizant of Olaf's request to be on notice that we need to be, I mean, given the critical nature of where this sits in the process and whether we like it or not, there may well be a need to respond urgently and effectively at the time. So that we need to have that in mind, and the readiness and willingness to act. And I've heard two or three or four volunteers already ready to go, but it seems the balance is let's wait until we have all of the facts on the table. We really need to probably close this. Alan, are you changing any element of that?
I have a very short one. Okay. Olaf, if we're looking at things that should be done in the interim before we have any facts, one of them must be I can start preparing to figure out how you're going to fund the difference in cost on an interim basis until we get experience with the process, before we start changing what the rules are. Thank you.
Sounds like a proposal for the budget.
And may I also add that, okay, I take this as a request that we ask the providers to come up with a detailed costing of the process as they see it. And I get back to you with that, and we can go from there. Is that a kind of compromise? If you have drafting team of volunteers in standby for something like that?
Yeah, I think that's where we've got to.
Okay. Thank you. May I just add one more thing, which has nothing to do with the URS, but concerning a little exchange Wolf and I had in the GNSCO Council yesterday, where the question was raised how the selection of the team should occur. And I responded to that question, and I think that's been taken as a wholesale idea that, well, all right, we have a de novo ATRT2, which doesn't at all learn from its past, and that's not what I said, and it is expanding the context widely from what I said. So I would like to highlight that, well, I believe and trust that we live in a learning organization and that whatever we do, when we've done something before, that we actually learn from that process when we, and the mistakes and the advantages and the way we went forward, and use that in crafting the second round of such a process. So just to set the record straight, thank you very much.
Thanks, Olaf. And I'm sorry, this first item, we've got a relatively full agenda for this wrap-up session, but I think we all recognize that this is one of the key items in the critical path of the new GTLD program, and it needs to be got right as soon as possible, at the right price, and compliant with existing policy, if at all possible. So thanks again, Olaf. And I'd encourage anyone with an interest in this clearly to attend the session that follows our one, although scheduling issues prevail again in the sense that I think there's a half-hour overlap with the end of this session. But thanks again, Olaf.
Thank you.
Right, so next on our agenda, I hope that most of you will have seen the agenda that was circulated or suggested anyway on the email list. It is up in the Adobe room as well. We needed to look at next steps on the Who Is RT letter, which I think Brian is going to help us with. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Jonathan. We haven't had a huge amount of movement since the last update at the GNSO working session over the weekend. I did circulate a rough draft, which, based on some of the good feedback I received, was rougher than I even realized when I originally sent it. But I have a revised version that I've put together. I have received a bit more feedback from counselors, which I'm incorporating into a new draft that I hope to send out by Monday. So I would just encourage any counselors who have additional thoughts or feedback beyond what's already been circulated on the list to please send that to me by tomorrow, close of business. In addition, there has been a dates to the chart that Margie's making from at least one constituency. I'm not aware of any other movement with people's positions with regard to whether or not a PDP is required on any of the points in the report, but if there are additional movements beyond the one group that's already forwarded them to me, I would also ask, obviously, that you send that to me by tomorrow, close of business as well. And we're basically going with a letter format, and we will be attaching, I apologize, in the draft I circulated didn't have it, but we will be attaching the detailed chart so that the board will see essentially a summary of where the various constituencies are with regard to the different points, and we'll also have an opportunity to look at the very detailed great chart that was drawn up as well.
Thanks, Brian. Any comments or other input?
Thanks, Jonathan. Wolverly speaking. Just a question. So, you know, we came under pressure regarding this meeting, regarding that item, because it was supposed that the board is going to take a decision about who is RT. So after having had discussion with the board as well, so I think they are going to postpone that decision. The question is there a timeline for that? What kind of pressure we have behind with that? Thanks.
Well, that's a good and fair point. Yeah, Brian.
I think our understanding is the board said they're going to be acting at their next meeting, which I believe is in a couple weeks. So that's why we do want to try and get the letter sent to them early next week to give them time to review it and have time to consider it prior to their acting.
Yeah, so slightly less urgent than we first thought, but nevertheless get it sorted out. So that's great.
Right. Originally, we thought they were actually going to be voting on it today, so that's why we were sort of panicked and rushing. And fortunately, it did get postponed, so we do have more time, and this will hopefully give them time to really absorb our feedback.
Thomas, was there something on this still?
No, maybe I missed something. Will we take advantage of the little more time to try to reach more consensus positions? I think we should, maybe. So, you know, finalizing the letter as it is one thing, but also trying to maybe bring the groups closer to each other would be beneficial as well.
Thomas, that's a great point. I actually did start going down that path on trying to do that very quickly, again, when we thought we had less time than we do. It's kind of incredibly complicated, and I actually spoke to some of the board members and described kind of where we're at and what the feedback is going to look like. And they really felt like at this point, and as people have brought up in other discussions previously we've had over the past week at this meeting with regard to the report from the review team, that they felt like they've received, you know, direct feedback from some of the constituencies already. They know that there's going to be this divide from the council. And frankly, the amount of time and energy it's going to take to get movement, they felt like wouldn't be incredibly productive.
Yes, Margie's waiting to say, but do follow up, Thomas.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if I remember correctly, there were two positions on the privacy proxy subject where we had full consensus on one item, and I think on the other one there was just one maybe, but apart from that everybody said yes. So it might be beneficial to indicate in the letter that we are going to take action or even have taken action. I think we would look extremely bad if the board, as a consequence of the letter, initiated or requested an issue report themselves. So, you know, then we would show that we're unable to act and they would jump in. So I think where feasible, we should be at the top of things and not in reactive mode.
Okay, Margie.
I think my comment's kind of along these lines. I sent an email to the list pointing out that the letter only talks about whether a PDP should start or not. It doesn't talk to the substance of the issue. And I think that's part of the, you know, sometimes when people look to the GNSO Council, that's something they expect to see is the substantive issue on what does the council think about the recommendations as opposed to yes or no on whether a PDP should start. So if the letter is going to go in the format that Brian suggested, I don't know if we have more time, if that's something that can be done, or is that just entirely unfeasible? Is the, you know, council willing to work to try to see whether there is some consensus on the actual recommendations themselves? Because that is something that's useful to the board, as opposed to, you know, PDP, no PDP, you know, that's like, it's not very substantive. I mean, it's helpful, you know, from a process perspective, but not really from a fundamental should these recommendations be adopted. So, you know, something to think about.
Thanks, Margie. And I know Wolf's in the queue here. I'm sympathetic to that as a principle, but my understanding of the discussion we had around this, which was pretty substantial, was we went through it, recognized that there was sufficient diversity of opinion that was measured and quantified in the various areas. We actually discussed that and raised that with the board when we saw them, and they said, that's no problem, we understand that you're a diverse group. And so my recollection of it is that we are not falling short of what might be expected of us by synthesizing that and providing that in a digestible format, that diverse set of points. So While I'm very sympathetic to this desire to act, to be seen, to be effective, that's I just thought that we'd done this pretty thoroughly and realized that in this instance, so if there is an action that we should take or a specific recommendation, if we could focus our thoughts on that. So, Wolf.
Yes, fully agreed from my side as well. So I would like to not to repeat what we did during the public comment period, you know, already. So the stakeholder groups and constituencies, we commented on that. We brought up our views on that. So I don't see that there is something to add on top. So why not could staff, well, just structure that in that way and put it, let me say, in your report to the board on top of that what we are right now doing with the recommendations about PDPs. Thanks.
Maggie. Yep.
Yeah, so Wolf is talking about is I understand, you know, most of the stakeholder groups submitted comments during the public comment forum on the recommendations. We would take those and put them in a chart, and then it would talk about the substantive issue and maybe act, you know, so we could kind of show the trends, if you will, in the different stakeholder groups and constituencies. So at least it's like, you know, some sort of consolidated thing. You know, maybe it's not a, you know, a global whatever council consensus position, but at least, you know, it might provide a snapshot to the board on what the, you know, what the thinking is within the various groups. And so it's similar to what Brian was doing on this very narrow issue of whether PDP or not PDP. But, you know, you could say, you know, for recommendation one, you know, there was, you know, in the statements there was support. And so there's now no real work, I guess, that needs to be done from each of you. If you all just agree that that's a reasonable approach to take, we could certainly do that from the staff perspective.
So does this go back to the essence of what we were talking about in terms of some sort of executive summary, which says, yeah, I mean, I thought that's what we agreed to. Perhaps we all need to have a last look at either the letter that Brian's writing and make sure that, the cover letter and make sure that that works. Or, Margie, are you suggesting that there's an additional component for you? Yeah, so you're going to prepare for us a synthesis that
on the substantive based on what was already published in the public comment forum. So it's going to look very similar to what you just saw for on the PDP issue, but this is actually on the substantive issue of what the various groups think about for each recommendation. And then, you know, the summary letter, I'll take the same, you know, format that Brian's in, or maybe we can work together, whatever you prefer, can synthesize the you know, the summary, you know, so that the board has something simple to look at as opposed to, you know, 10 different statements or 6 different statements.
Great. Can we bring this to a close now, Brian? You want to say something?
Right. I was just going to say that I think Wolf's suggestion is actually excellent, and I think Margie's point is very good, and I'm happy to work with Margie, and I think we could probably have one letter and probably 2 appendices, one being then PDP, yes or no, and then one being a synthesis of the substantive, and that way we're getting back to the board with a more complete picture.
Great. That sounds fantastic. So if we could draw a line under it at this point, then that sounds like we've got agreement on that. Right. Moving on, the next item we've got on the proposed agenda is the next steps on the IGO PDP and any ideas there might be for expediting these. Is Barry here to talk about this?
Hi, thank you. Yes, so the PDP was just approved yesterday, as everybody realizes, and staff is already taking some steps to try to help in the expedition of the PDP. First and foremost, we've already started the first draft of the charter to try to help move things along, and we'll also in parallel be trying to put an initial work plan together with some of the key milestones for all the requirements to meet the PDP. Something else that we thought of and with the council's approval is one step within the PDP is to communicate out to all the stakeholder groups and constituencies and go ahead and try to receive their comments so that we can have those ready for when the working group is formed, or the drafting team and working group. And lastly, in terms of just trying to schedule the efforts of the PDP, there's basically 2 options, and it really kind of depends on the participants of the working group itself. At the very minimum, would recommend weekly meetings at least 2 hours. And depending on what the work plan is like and given the schedule, we may even look to even have 2 meetings a week just to try to finish it up as quickly as possible. And so basically those are the kind of the steps that we're taking now, and we welcome other input from the council.
Any other comments, Jeff?
So one of the things we could do is, and I haven't talked to members of the drafting team, but is to maybe start with a merging of the drafting team with a drafting team of the IOC Red Cross with the new drafting charter team, I guess, of the new charter for the IGO, INGO, PDP. Although I'm not volunteering for chair, I'm just saying that's a possibility to merge the two. I also think that one thing that's very likely to come out is a request, and I've talked about this with some drafting team members. I'd like to get a budget from ICANN because I'd like to actually have an independent law firm and we could decide how we do this and make sure it's international. But I'd like to hire a law firm to actually do the legal analysis, an independent one, one that does not report to ICANN, that does not report to any player, and I have no preconceived notions of which this would be, to actually finally give us the legal opinion that we need on these issues, specifically on the treatment of these two groups and the differential treatment of these two groups, the two groups being the IOC Red Cross as one group, or even those that could actually be split too, and IGOs and INGOs on the other hand. The sooner we get the budget, the sooner we start looking at law firms to do this, I think the better. So I think ultimately in the end, we can form this group all we want. We can have two-hour discussions, but until we get some authoritative legal analysis, it's not going to go very far. So that's just one of my suggestions.
Thanks, Jeff. I've got Chuck and then Yoav.
Thanks, Jonathan, and welcome as new chair. Two things. First of all, let me follow up with what Jeff just said. I think that's a really good idea. Most of us were in the GAC session with the board earlier this week when this topic came up, and there's clearly an understanding, at least by some members of the GAC, that the law is absolutely clear. On especially with the IOC Red Cross names, we need the answer with regard to other international names as well. So I think Jeff's suggestion is critical, and the sooner that can get going, the better. Secondly, I'm sorry for not bringing this up yesterday during your council meeting, but I didn't see a good opportunity, and I missed it. But the drafting team actually made some other recommendations that haven't been dealt with. And a critical one was communicating with the GAC. And so we don't need to deal with that right now, but we need to deal with it quickly. The goal was to explain to the GAC why we felt a PDP was necessary and what the advantages of a PDP were, and then also to invite their feedback in terms of our decision. That, to me, is a crucial step. So, again, it doesn't have to be done here, but I think you might want to at least initiate maybe a small group to get that going so that response can be prepared and sent to the GAC as soon as possible.
It's a very practical and appreciated suggestion, Chuck, and I think, you know, it may have been possible had we not had our meeting with the GAC put aside, but nevertheless, we need to deal with it now. Jeff, is that something you would be willing to lead in terms of making sure that communication happens, or?
I would be happy to be a part of it. I think we're in an interesting stage right now because the drafting team recommendations are out for comment, and I would not really like to act on, I mean, I don't know, we could ask the group, do we act on recommendations that are out for comment while they're still out for comment? I mean, we did act on the PDP, but that I view as kind of separate because that was already in the works. Chuck, do you have a thought? I'm fine doing it and helping with that, but...
Sure, and I'd be glad to help too, but your point's well taken. But I think there's a little bit of work that's going to have to be done to solicit from GNSO participants in terms of the rationale for a PDP. Some of it we already captured in the drafting team, but we wanted to invite others to add to that. So I think that collection of the rationale and beginning to formulate it could happen in parallel as the comment period goes on. You wouldn't actually have to send the communication until after that's done. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Makes sense to me. Right, I've got a queue of people that we need to make sure we deal with. First is, I've got Yoav, David, Margie, Mason, Thomas.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I strongly support the idea that we'll have an external review of a law firm on this, just to, I think this is in the right direction.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I've been following this issue since the beginning, and the it's become plainer and plainer. As we, even as we've learned more about the legal issues, it's become clearer. It's also become obvious that there's a lot of, you know, quite unusual law that's quite difficult to untangle, that we really do need some substantive legal opinion. I mean, the Red Cross have been bringing in, to their credit, have been bringing in some some experts to help out. It is unusual law. It may be difficult to find a law firm that really wants to, you know, is happy to delve into both humanitarian law and internet law at the same time, but let's try. We really do need to get some clarity on some of these legal issues that are really not there at the moment.
Thanks, David. Margie?
On the question of whether to retain a law firm to do this, it would seem that we would need some sort of formal request, either by the GNSO Council or the drafting team, but it's not, you know, hearing a couple of voices saying that is probably not enough for us to go out and actually spend the money. So I don't know if that's something that, you know, you want to take a vote on or have, you know, and then we'll take it internally. But just, you know, I don't disagree with the approach. I think, you know, the information is important, and certainly a part of the PDP process is to gather research when appropriate. So it's not a question of challenging the request. It's just trying to find an appropriate formal mechanism to do that so we can, you know, get the funds and do the, you know, initiate the work.
All right. Thanks, Margie. I have a cue, but I sense that you're happy not. We were looking to just respond directly to Margie's point.
Yeah, just on the quick point, I think it's you'll need a formal letter, but I think you could help and get the budget and talk and think about the cost and think about how much you can allocate.
So basically start socializing it and do, you know, the background work internally to get something like that set up, knowing that we'll get something formal to request it. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Mason.
Just from the registrar point of view, I just want to say I think this is a sane plan to pursue. Given the history of the issue, we had we didn't have advice, but we had communication from the GAC that said IGOs don't rise to the same standard as Red Cross and the Olympic Committee. Now, that's very likely to change. I think if we need to justify the basis for our decision based on competent legal interpretation and not the claims of those who are interested. I just think it's a wise move for the council to take.
Thanks, Mason. So I'm hearing pretty good support for that. I'm hearing Margie say that she's going to start to socialize that internally and start to do some of the preliminary work, but we will need to bring this back to council formally, perhaps as soon as our next meeting. Margie.
And on a separate issue, we needed a liaison from the council for the drafting team over the, I guess it's now a working group, right, for the PDP, if we can nominate someone.
Any volunteers right now? Stefan?
Obviously not volunteering, but just wanted to remind you, Jonathan, that you also need to find someone for the ICANN Academy working group, because I will not be continuing in that role.
Thanks, Stefan. Yeah. Mason's, well, I think we were looking for a liaison.
To the GNS or the GAC.
Yeah. Right, so then we're going to close that item. The next two items we had were, which I think Rob Hogarth is not here to address them. I think we need to just be aware that those were on the agenda. I deliberately left you off, but you seem to have reappeared.
I know. No hard feelings, though. In terms of communication, this is sort of a follow-up to our discussion yesterday. I think it's two different topics or layers, one of which is the communication with the GAC. The other layer is the board response to the questions raised by the GAC to the board. So I think that we maybe Jeff or somebody else should be talking to the board in order to ensure that they make some clarifying statements in their response to the GAC's concerns about the PDP. You know, to refresh your memory, the GAC was of the opinion that sort of a PDP would now be used to mingle with the laws that were existent. So I think there was some confusion or misunderstanding on why the PDP is needed. And so I think that should be the first step that we make ourselves heard and that some information on that is included in the board response. And then afterwards, you know, once the public comment period is completed and stuff like that, then we can do a substantial communication with the GAC directly.
Is this something which could be covered by a letter, actually putting something down in writing as well as in discussion?
A letter to the board, you mean? Could certainly be done. My proposal would be to talk to the board and ask them how they intend to respond. And if it's all well, then there's no need for further action. And if they would like us to add information to inform their response, then we can put something together. Would right. you like me to take care of that, or?
Sorry, Thomas, that would be helpful.
Okay, and since I have now much more time than I expected until 18 hours yesterday, I also volunteer to be the liaison to the academy, unless somebody else wants to put his or her name forward.
Great to have you on in both those areas. Thanks, Thomas. And Wolfgang?
I fully support the idea to ask for external legal advice, but I think it's important if we ask for the advice that we formulate a very narrow question. We should not go into the series of international organizations. So I think there is an argument in the GAC which says, you know, these two organizations have a unique status which are different from all other intergovernmental or non-governmental organizations. And the outside legal answer should refer to this very concrete question, whether this is true or not true. And there is no need to have, you know, extensive studies about the legal status of all the other organizations which are on the PDP. I think the question is indeed whether there are some organizations have a special status, or whether all organizations, you know, are treated more or less on the same similar.
Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the questions. I think there's another question, which is, this is the distinction I made yesterday at the meeting, which was, it's one thing to say that the law protects against certain uses of those names. It's another thing to say that the law requires a registry or registrar to block the registrations of those names. I happen to believe, based on my legal experience and case law that I've read, and certainly in the United States and in Belgium and a number of other countries that I've actually personally had to litigate in, that the law does not require registry or registrar to, or I should say it a different way, that a registry or registrar, by merely acting as a registry or registrar in those jurisdictions, is not contributorily liable for any kind of use that is made of those names. So I think your question, Wolfgang, is absolutely right. We need to get that legal question answered, but we also need to get the question answered as to what are registries and registrars required or not required to do, because the GAC made a statement, or some members of the GAC made a statement, kind of, I think, confusing the two. Because even if the law requires protects against certain uses, it's a different question.
Thank you. Great argument.
Bertrand, go ahead.
Sorry, good morning. I just happened to pass by the door. The moment I heard this, I took the opportunity to share one concern on a personal behalf as a board member. One of the things that I sense in this debate is that we have the danger of going in a direction that will be extremely uncomfortable for the board in particular, because if the two tracks continue, basically one on the GAC side and one on the GNSO side, getting into the legalese very, very deeply, one, we will lose track of what is the purpose of the discussion, which is basically to make sure that there's no abuse of those names, and any non-registration is a tool. And it should not become just a matter of principle. It should be organized around the appropriate use of whatever series of letters are concerned. But if we continue the two tracks without enough discussion on both sides, the board will be left with basically a sort of rock and a hard place situation where there will be two very strong recommendations on both sides, and it will be extremely hard to reharmonize them. And so what I would like encourage everybody to think about is to focus, and I've said that, to be absolutely transparent, I've said that to the IGOs that have approached me as a board member to talk about this, and I said that to GAC members. The focus is on preventing abuse. And protection is a tool, but it cannot solve anything, and it should not be overused. And so the encouragement is to develop as much as possible the contacts between the IGOs, the GAC members, and the community, NTAG, and the GNSO. Doesn't preclude doing whatever legal inquiry you want, but the goal is to focus on what is the purpose, and the purpose is to make sure that those terms are not used inappropriately, like the others, and there are many pragmatic solutions that can be achieved. We have a period of 6 months until Beijing, and I encourage very strongly dialogue among those different actors to see whether there are pragmatic steps, even voluntary steps, that could be taken to alleviate the pressure and show the common commitment to the interests of users and the global interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Bertrand. I know we've got a cut. We've got Jeff and Chuck. I mean, I'm conscious that the time set is going to sandwich us, and we're going to have to take a hatchet to the remainder of the agenda. But I think that, you know, we're dealing with some pretty important issues here with the URS, with this particular issue as well. So let's hear from Jeff and then Chuck.
Thanks, Bertrand. Is he still here, or did he leave? Oh, sorry. You know, I'd be curious to know what recommendations you have so that we can, I know it's on two tracks. We've tried to reach out to the GAC. We've tried to get them to work with us. You know, unless and until they work with us or they allow us to work with them, it's going to proceed on two tracks. There's just no other way around it. I would love to work with them. I've had separate conversations with individuals from the GAC, but you know, I don't see a way around the two tracks. I understand we could focus on preventing abuse, but I mean, many would argue that we've been working on preventing abuse in the names. That's how we came up with the URS and all the other stuff there.
Sorry, I don't want to belabor. This is not about saying don't do it. It's your responsibility. You make the choice. That's not the point. The point is that you know that any kind of disputed situation, even on a private cases, you can escalate the kind of, the lawyers talking to lawyers that develop their case until it's impossible to harmonize. The actors that are to be taken into account and discussed with are not only the GAC, it's the IGOs themselves. And they have concerns. They don't necessarily understand every nook and cranny of this whole thing. They don't even understand sometimes what is the current situation in the existing TLDs. And so engaging with them to show that there is an understanding of their concern, but that sometimes they can be overstating some of the rights that they think they have, and focusing on what is the purpose is my recommendation.
No, I understand your point, Bertrand. You're advocating diplomacy and worried that diplomacy might be a casualty of bringing in legal advice, or at least we've got to proceed with caution in how we handle that. So I think it's the challenge is how to do that. But there we go, Chuck.
Yeah, and I'll be brief. Chuck Gomes again. I'm all for dialogue. I think most of you know that, and dialogue with the GAC included, as well as IGOs and Red Cross and IOC, et cetera. In the case of the GAC, there's a position being taken that it's all covered by law. So there's no question. It shouldn't even be a PDP. And until we resolve that issue, I don't know that they'll even talk to us. They might not anyway, that's why I think it's really important, if it's possible, to get the independent legal advice. Now, it doesn't only apply to the GAC's position with regard to IOC and Red Cross names. It also applies to the IGOs. and any international names we're considering in this PDP. I have read all the IGO submissions, the Red Cross and the IOC submissions, the GAC submissions, the board analysis, all of that. I mean, they all sound pretty convincing, but frankly, they don't all agree. And we really need that, if we can get it, some independent view. I'm not an attorney. I'm certainly not familiar with international law. And a lot of you are in the same boat as me. And so for an effective PDP, I think this is a critical piece.
Thanks, Chuck. I mean, we've got a number of more sort of administrative items and some substantive items that we need to deal with. We'll go through those, and I'm basically going to very briefly talk to each one. I know Alan wanted to say something. I know Thomas wanted to say something. This is a substantial issue. We've had some great input on some of the mechanisms by which we should deal with it. Seems to be pretty strong support for this the formal legal analysis. I know it goes to a theme we've talked about before, which is basing policy-based work on substantial and relevant information. So, Alan, is there anything more you'd like to say on this? And then, Thomas, then we really have to go into a wrap-up of the wrap-up.
Yeah, just very short. In discussions with a number of GAC people as recently as this morning at breakfast, there seems to be an increasing understanding in the GAC that they need to get involved in the policy development process, not just toss documents over the wall after it's a fait accompli. That's encouraging. I don't think they know how to do it, but there seems to be a belief that they must do it, so that's a better prognosis than we had before.
Thomas.
Thank you. I just wanted to take advantage of the fact that Bertrand is still in the room. We were planning to approach the board to make sure that an answer to the concerns raised by the GAC was informed by us, you know, so because you will get back to the GAC on this specific point. So I think in terms of your diplomatic approach, we could piggyback with you and take that as a starting point and explain why we need this PDP. It's not just about protection, regardless what that protection ultimately will look like, but to make the GAC understand that an exemption process might be needed, which wouldn't be covered by the existing rules for reserved names. And so I think we might be able to open a door a little bit in collaboration with you. And should you be the person inside the board that was willing to, you know, help us with this, let me know. It would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. Very good suggestion. I thank you, Bertrand, for being here, actually, because it's great to have your involvement and engagement outside of simply, you know, board GNSO liaison. And that's one of the things that's concerned us in the past, is that we have these kind of semi-polarized discussions with the board, and this kind of level of interaction is great. Everyone, I mean, it's 7 minutes to 12. I have a hard stop at 12. I suspect many others of you do as well. So I'm going to talk through the items on the agenda. I'm going to ask you not to intervene unless you absolutely have to, and just try and bring this lot to a close. As I said at the outset, it was slightly sprung upon me to chair this. I mistook Stefan's humor for an actual commitment to chair this meeting. So, but I think clearly URS and this topic we've just been discussing are substantial, important, critical topics. So I don't think it was wrong to spend a lot of time on them. Some of the other areas we've got coming down the tracks are clearly that Rob wanted to talk to us a little bit about my ICANN. We saw that. I know it's close to Fadi's heart, but we did see that in his opening speech, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that through Sally and others. The council review, I attended a session this morning just prior to this meeting that was run by Ray. I think he recognizes, whilst it's important to get things moving and understand what the implications of undertaking the review process, I think he is as cognizant as many of us are that we've got a lot on our plate. So whilst the importance of it is recognized, we need to work within the time constraints of everything else we're trying to do. So it's there and it's on the agenda, but there are some rather more urgent things to be dealing with right at the very minute. We'll come back to that though, on the status of the drafting team on the list. We need to pick up on the defensive registrations, and there's a board request on that. Wolf's work on the ATRT selections. Certainly management of policy workload and prioritization, which was something that, that Margie had put on the list. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Margie, but I intend to work with staff and with council and start to pick up on our existing project workload, look at mechanics and methods, and I'll be I've already tapped John on the shoulder, and I'll be talking to others of you about any methods or thoughts you have, whether it's, traffic light systems, hands in the air systems, whatever it is, to try and organize our priorities rather than simply have a work list that we're working with. We've got a request here on assigning someone to manage the GNSO schedules for Beijing. My understanding is that's typically fallen on the shoulders of the vice chairs, but we will need to look at that pretty soon. Great. Well, Mason's just indicated that he'll be happy to that, which is will be very, very much appreciated by myself, staff, and others, I'm sure. One of the things I did want to cover very briefly with you now was setting up the upcoming GNSO Council meetings. We have a set of about three meetings between now and the end of the year that are predetermined. Personally, I'd like to look at the 12-month ahead schedule. We got ourselves a little bit of a twist around summer this year. I'd like to have a mapped out schedule for the next 12 months so that we all know exactly where we stand and get that agreed. Then the next council meeting, can someone remind me? I think that's coming up relatively soon. All right, so my 16th, 15th. So that's almost a month away. I'm tempted to stick with that rather than start risking the changing people's schedules now. So my suggestion to you is that we stick with the schedule of meetings, but please come back to me if there's any, and Glenn, if there are any issues with the meetings between now and Christmas. But as I say, I'll be proposing a set of meetings probably right out through the whole of calendar year 13, just to make sure we've got a view of where we're headed on all of this as soon as possible, and people's diaries are set. John.
I would agree that we keep the November 15th and the December 20th, because there are a number of things that we want to expedite. The consumer trust discussion needs to happen pretty quickly, so I wouldn't want to lose one of those meetings in order to... But after the first of the year... Whatever.
Great. It's the 20th of December, I understand. So really we will work to those. I couldn't agree with you more. I think we've got to have two meetings between now and the end of the year with everything that's on our schedules. I mean, I guess it just remains... The one question I had was about brainstorming. We clearly did the brainstorming at the beginning of this meeting. It seemed to be quite useful. It got us in a mode of working early on. So we can discuss that on list, but I'll be tempted to keep that in that order next time around, and be good to hear from you on that. I think the last thing I'd just say is thank you again for the trust you've put in me in voting for me. I know there were some challenging discussions, and it was very, very clear that Thomas is an extremely well qualified candidate. Either of us, it was said to me on many occasions, could do and could have done a good job. I sincerely hope I won't let you down, and I'll be relying on the support of this extremely well-qualified council of individuals to pull together and work as effectively as we can, because that's the kind of promise I've made, is effective prioritization, useful productivity, and effective engagement outside of the council. And those are really my sort of three strategic or thematic things that I think we'll have to be working with. But really, I've very much look forward to working with you all, and thanks. I think we've had a successful meeting. Are there any other points before we wrap up?
We also need a volunteer for the TIC who is a working group, a liaison.
Anyone stepping up to the plate now?
As I'm a member of that group anyways, I would take over that role.
Thank you very much. Alan?
I'm either pleased or regret to inform you I was just told I've been reappointed as liaison for the next year.
Wonderful, Alan. All right, thanks, everyone. I hope the rest of your day is successful. We'll look forward to meeting online and in the corridors over the last few hours, and, of course, see you all in person in Beijing. Thanks again.